It was the evangelist Billy Graham who said, "Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God." For these two are closely related. Listen to this. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else. Billy Graham would go on to say, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. A common indictment against the church today, all they want, all they care about, all they ever talk about, my money, all they're ever doing, asking me for more of my money. And this morning, I'm going to say it this way. I fear that in some ways, the church has surrendered to that. Never mind what the Bible says. All that the Bible says about money. It may interest you to know, one is calculated, 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus told, just under half, almost every other one, it was about money. It was about possessions, how to handle them rightly. In the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. In all the Bible, 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, more than 2,000 verses on money. But it would seem in our day, the church has decided to never mind that. Never mind the importance of getting money right from a biblical perspective. The world thinks money's all we do. The world thinks money's all we care about. The world gets offended when we talk about money. Oh, here we go again. I knew I shouldn't have come to this church. I knew I should have skipped this Sunday. Of course, it's all about money. That's all it ever is. The church wanting to get richer by demanding I give more. Afraid of that. Afraid of offending people, making them to be uncomfortable by telling them what the Bible says about money, about their money, and what they should be doing with their money. Afraid of that. I just sense it. We've decided to never mind the Bible, never mind the teaching of biblical principles on money, never mind talking about it even ever. Better that we don't. Listen, in some churches, never mind talking about money, there's not even an offering anymore. There's boxes in the back. People can do whatever they want. And listen, you understand, churches can take offering however they want to take offering. The how is not the issue. The world's intimidation and the subsequent neglect of biblical money talk, that is the problem. And it's a big problem. The tithe is the command of Scripture. We'll get to that this morning. One study found, though, only 42% of practicing Christians strongly understand what a tithe means. Some studies have found only 5% of American churchgoers tithe. The best scenario puts it as high as 25%. Do you understand? Worst case, only 5% of us are tithing. Best case, only 25%. Do you understand? This is a problem. A big problem. Maybe we've been too silent for too long with the money talk. The tithe is 10% of one's income. Studies suggest that the average Christian gives 2.5% of their income. Listen, and 25% of Christians don't give any money at all to their church. Listen, I'm going to say it this way. We have a money problem in the church today. Not a money problem like we don't have enough. Not a money problem like the world would tell us we have. Not a money problem that we're obsessed with it, always and only wanting more and more of it. No, not any of that. We have a money problem that is this. We have way too many Christians that don't have a clue what the Bible says about money. Listen, and we have way too many Christians that aren't even close to doing with their money what the Bible says they should do with their money. Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God. If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it'll help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Listen, we're fighting the attack against Christianity, the compromise of it. We're learning, we're reminding ourselves, we're anchoring ourselves deeper and deeper into a biblical worldview. The truth, here it is this morning. So we're going to think rightly about money. We're going to get the money right. We're going to get our attitude toward money straight. Listen, church, my brother, my sister, we have to. Some of us have been to the doctor, likely all of us at some point. Something wrong? A place of pain? Does it hurt if I do this? No, that doesn't hurt. How about this? No, not that. What about here? Yes! Yes! That's the place of pain. That's the spot. That's where it hurts. And the doctor says, we've got to take care of that. The doctor says something's wrong. It's not supposed to hurt there. Listen, the money talk, confronted with what the Bible says, what you're doing, more specifically, how you're not doing what the Bible says you're supposed to be doing with your money. Listen, the money talk, your pastor, who you love dearly. I know you do. Let me just speak for you this morning. You love your pastor. He stands in front of you on a Sunday and tells you what you ought to be doing with your money. You start to not love your pastor so much anymore. Listen, the Bible, your pastor starts poking and prodding around your wallet. Yes! That's the spot. That's where it hurts. Listen, something's wrong. It's not supposed to hurt there. We've got to fix that. Let's fix that. My brother, my sister, listen, New Life, let's fix it this morning. Let's get the money right. Listen, from this day forward, from a scriptural perspective, there's lots that we could talk about related to money. But ultimately, it really is true. The starting place where we'll begin, where we must begin, where all things money related begin, it's the tithe. Listen, my brother, my sister, it's the truth. You can't get the money right if you're not getting the tithe right. Again, this morning, let's get it right. If it's not right, let's fix it from this day forward. Let me share with you three things. First, this, we'll call it the what of tithing. Tithing defined, if you will. One says this, tithing is consistent, joyful, and thoughtful giving to God's church. More specifically, the church you attend. The pastor says, after all, you don't eat at McDonald's and pay at Burger King. Very specifically, very clearly, the tithe is a word that means a tenth or 10%. And very specifically, very clearly from Scripture, the tithe is the part of your income, the tenth, the 10% part of your income that God commands you to give to Him. In Leviticus 27 and verse 30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. We're going to see this more in a minute. Very important for us to understand. Listen, God owns it all. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Everything is His. Listen, let me be more clear this morning. everything that you think is yours, everything that you call mine, it's not. It belongs to Him. All that you own, all that you have, listen now, your entire income belongs to God. It's His. Here it is. The tithe is the part of your income, the 10% part of your income that God commands you to give to Him. It's all His, but He lets you keep the 90%. He only wants the tithe back. He only wants the 10% back. Listen, and the tithe, that 10%, He calls it His. It's His money. It's not yours. Listen, if you keep it, if you spend it, you take from Him what is His, you rob from Him. You're already there in your Bible, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Very specifically, very clearly from Scripture, and very practically, if your income, you got a $100 check this week, $10 belongs to God. It's not yours. If you took it, if you kept it, if you spent it, you've stolen from Him. So the very specific and clear definition of the tithe, it's the tenth. It's the 10% of your income that belongs to God. But we would understand it's also way more than that. It's way more than just a giving issue, if you will. It's a stewardship one. Stewardship recognizes that God's the owner of it all. And you and me, not the owners. No, we're simply the stewards. We're simply the managers, the servants, given responsibility of it all, if you will. In Exodus chapter 19, if you obey me, keep my covenant, you'll be my special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Job 41 and 11, who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine. We get that right. I think probably we'd all understand it completely. When it comes to creation, when it comes to the earth, it's God's. It belongs to God. Where we maybe begin to struggle with the idea when it comes to us, when it comes to me, when it comes to my life, when it comes to my stuff. You notice we never say that with creation. Of course we don't. We know it's not ours. It's not my ocean. It's not my sky. It's not my earth and my heavens, but all of a sudden we bring it close to home and everything changes. It's my house. It's my car. It's my money. I'll do with it as I please. All of a sudden, it's me and me and mine and mine. Listen this morning, again from Psalm 24, we read it a moment ago. The earth is the Lord's, everything, all who live in it. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you've received from God? Listen now, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Do you understand it's true of all creation? It's especially true of you who believe in Jesus. Listen, your decision to follow Jesus was in fact your decision to surrender everything to Him. You don't own anything. You don't even own yourself. He owns it all. It all belongs to Him. One says this, without our God, we would be bankrupt corpses. All that we have is His. We are born into this world with our hands empty. And when we leave this world, we take nothing with us. God owns it all. Another, when the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, He placed you here not as an owner, but rather a steward. Still one more. You've been given one main task, to be a good steward of what He has entrusted to you. Nothing less, nothing more. God owns it all. All that you have, all that I have, it belongs to Him. Every hour, every minute, every second of your day, it belongs to Him. Every breath, everything you possess, it belongs to Him. Every talent, every gifting, it belongs to Him. Whatever it is in your life that would be something to have, something to own, something to possess, something that's yours, something that belongs to you. In fact, it doesn't. It belongs to Him. All of it is His. And listen, here it is. The only way we can get the money right is to get this right. Listen, you would understand this from a personal and practical kind of perspective and way. If you give me $100 and ask me to hold it for you, I'm not tormented, I'm not resisting, I'm not fighting you when you ask for it back. Oh, I wish I hadn't seen you today. I was hoping to get out to dinner tonight with your $100. Now I can't. How miserable I am. Poor, woe is me, have to give your $100 back to you. No, I don't do that. It's your money. I can't spend it. When you ask for it back, I'm happy to give it. Oh yeah, I've got it right here for you. You understand? And so it should be with our giving to God. And even more so, because God gives you a $100 bill, but when He asks for His money back, He only asked for the 10. He lets you keep the 90. Listen, do you understand? Why is it so hard for us then to give to Him? Listen, my brother, my sister, why is it so hard for you? I'll tell you, because I think, we still think, it's our money. We think God is demanding us to give to Him our money. One says this, when we place our tithe in the offering, we're not giving to the Lord something He doesn't have. We're simply taking our hands off of that which belongs to Him already. And listen, the only way to get the money right is to get stewardship right. It's His. Everything that I have, in fact, it's not mine at all, belongs to Him. He's the owner. I'm the steward. Tithing is way more than just the definition. Way more than just the 10% of your income. It's way more than just a giving issue. It's a lordship one. One says this, God doesn't need or even want your money. He wants you. Listen, until you give Him the tithe, though, He doesn't have you. Lordship means that we've made Him to be Lord. He's the Lord. We're His servants. We do His bidding. Whatever He asks of us, we obey Him. Listen, the tithe, not just about giving. It's about obedience. One says this, tithing is not an act of generosity to the church. It's an act of obedience to the Lord. Listen, my brother, my sister, obey Him. Obey Him in everything. Obey Him in all that He commands of you. Obey Him with the tithe. Give it back to Him. Scripture is clear in its command. We are to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, it's a constant awareness of God's constant presence in my life. Along with that, a constant awareness of eternity as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." In Psalm 33 and verse 8, "Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of Him." In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, "Here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commandments, for this is the entire duty of man." And the result of obeying this command of Scripture, of fearing, of living in the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 16 and verse 6, "Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." Psalm 34 and verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them." Proverbs 14 and verse 26, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress for his children. It would be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." Proverbs 10 and verse 27, listen, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life." Psalm 103 and verse 17, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children." Proverbs 22 and verse 4, humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Finally, Psalm 34, how about this for a summation, if you will. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Do you understand? Scripture commands it. The blessings for it, too numerous to count, too wonderful to fully comprehend. It begs the question, how do I do that? How do I fear the Lord? I need to. Scripture says I do. I want to. Scripture lets me know I do. So how? What can I do to fear? What can I do to live in this fear of the Lord? Listen, Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all your field's produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place He will choose as a dwelling for His name, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Do you understand? Tithing, not just a giving issue. Listen, it's a fear of the Lord issue. It's a faith issue. It's a trust issue. Do you really believe what God says about your finances? You believe what God says about all the rest. You have faith to believe Him in all that, for all that. Do you believe what He says about the money? Do you trust Him? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. One says it this way, money can buy you a house, but not a home. A bed, but not a good night's sleep. Money can buy you food, but not an appetite. Medicine, but not health. Money can buy you information, but not wisdom. Amusement, but not joy. Associates, but not friends. Servants, but not loyalty. Flattery, but not respect. One pastor includes, money can buy you a crucifix, but not a savior. A safe haven on some lake or ocean, but not heaven. Do you understand? Listen, we have to get the money right. We have to have the right view on money, a biblical view on money, the truth. Listen, to ensure that we're not putting our trust in something that cannot deliver. To ensure that we're not putting our trust in something other than God. Paul continues in 1 Timothy, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust their money. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life. Tithing, you understand, giving, generosity, it's not just a giving issue. It's the means by which we can do good, help those in need, share. It's the means by which we can store up treasures for the future. Ultimately, that's heaven. Do you understand? We'll get to this more in a minute, but the tithe, the giving to the church, it's the means by which in heaven we can experience true life and reward. One says this, tithing is a thank you note to God, who is responsible for every blessing we have. What a great thought that is, isn't it? My $100 income, I take the 10, I bring it here on a Sunday morning, I put it in an envelope, put it in the offering. Every time I do that, it's an expression of thanks to God for everything He has given to me. The tithe, the tenth, the 10% that's His. You can't keep it. You can't spend it. It's His. Take what's His and use it for yourself. That's stealing. You can't steal. Not ever should you. Certainly not ever should you steal from God. You don't. You give it to Him consistently and joyfully and thoughtfully. You give it to Him, to His church, specifically the church you attend. The tithe, the tenth, it's the giving, but surely you'd understand this morning. It's way more than just the giving. Second, this morning, we'll call this the how of tithing. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. One pastor says, many tip, few tithe. Be a tither, my brother, my sister. Bring the whole tithe and bring it first. In the agriculture, farming context of the Old Testament, the command was to bring the first of the harvest as the tithe. Not what's left at the end of the week or the end of the month. No, God gets the first. Listen, before anyone or anything else, you should pay God, as it were. Before anyone or anything else, God gets what's His. God gets the 10%. It really is. Listen, it's the first thing you should budget. It's the first thing you should do. Whenever you get paid, take out the tenth. Have it ready to give to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 reveals more on the how of tithing. Just before we read it, though, interesting this that I heard this last week. 1 Corinthians is a letter. When Paul wrote it, there were no chapters or verses. Those were added for the convenience and ease of our reading. It's a letter. Then, now, no one writes a letter with chapters and verses. And so this is how the letter goes. No chapter breaks between chapter 15, the end, and chapter 16, the beginning. Here we go. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When that happens, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. But no stopping. Now, I want to deal with you about the offering of money for God's people. Do you understand? Paul takes us from the rapture to the offering without missing a beat. And you know it. It just happened for some of you. You went from the mountaintop in the twinkling of an eye change. Hallelujah. The trumpet to sound. Amen. Death defeated. Victory won. Yes, yes, yes. You know it. You were shouting it all. You went from the mountaintop to the valley. Now about the offering. And all of a sudden, your shout got silent. There was no hallelujah, amen, or yes, yes, yes. I think I might have heard a no, no, no. One says this related to this transition. Giving is just as important as the second coming. Isn't it true? All the church wants to show up when the preaching is end times. The Bible study is end times. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the church goes from the rapture to the offering, and the amen suddenly goes silent. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But no, amen. Let's get to the offering quickly. We're going to see it in a minute. Listen, New Life, my brother, my sister. How about let's get the money right? Let's rejoice in the giving, even as we rejoice in His coming. 1 Corinthians 16. Now I want to deal with the offering of money for God's people. I want you to do exactly what I told the churches in Galatia to do. That is, each Sunday, each of you must put aside part of what you've earned. If you do this, you won't have to take up a collection when I come. The instruction, the how of giving, here it is, consistently. That's each Sunday. Maybe we would say it this way. It's each paycheck, each time you're paid. Thoughtfully put aside part of what you've earned. Not random. Not, well, I'll just give a little here and a little there. It should be thought out. It should be planned out, accounted for in your budget according to what you've earned. That speaks to the tithe, the percentage of what you've earned. It applies to the tithe, it applies to any offering according to what you've earned. One says this, you should give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Consistently, thoughtfully, generously, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, this from the Passion Translation, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Consistently, thoughtfully, generously, and joyfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There may be times you get mad about giving. I don't want to. I can't stand this, but I guess I better. I can't stand having to give all my money. You know what I could do with all this money? I don't like giving it. I'm mad about having to give it. Listen. Truth be told, full disclosure, that's okay with your pastor. This church accepts angry money. We're happy to do it. But listen, it's not okay with God. And it ought not be okay with you. You ought to give joyfully. The opportunity to give, whether it be the tithe or any and every offering, it ought to be a joyful experience for you. The what of tithing, the how of it, and this morning we finish the why. The why, it's because he commanded it. It's obedience, that's why. It's lordship, that's why he is the Lord. We obey our Lord. It's stewardship, it's the fear of the Lord. It's our faith, our trust, our confidence in him. It's our thank you letter to him, that's why. How about this, 1 Timothy 6, the love of money causes all kinds of trouble. Some people want money so much they have given up their faith and have caused themselves a lot of pain. In light of that, no wonder then this from Hebrews, keep your lives from the love of money and be content with what you have. You know how you do that the best? You give. Listen, there's a freedom you can experience, a freedom from the love of money, a freedom from the control of money. One says this, there's nothing wrong with men possessing riches, but what is wrong is when riches possess men. Listen, but in giving a heart of generosity, you can be set free from that. In Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Do you understand the freedom? Freedom from the love of money, freedom from the evil, freedom from the greed. And listen now, freedom from the devourer, freedom from the worry. Listen, don't you understand? You would know it. You recognize it. Surely you do. With the windows of heaven open over your life, you don't have to worry. You'll know. You'll experience your God supplying all your needs. How about the why that is this? Again, Luke 6, we read it just a moment ago. Give generously. Generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Listen, the measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Do you understand? Jesus put the return amount, put the getting back, if you will, in your hands. If you want to get a little, give a little. If you want to get a lot, give a lot. We could ask the question this morning, who needs some more money? Who wants some more money? Here it is. Scripture reveals it to us. You don't have to want. You don't have to ask or pray. You don't have to manipulate or connive. Listen, you only have to be generous. And the return on that will be an abundance, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, and running over. One quotes, there was a man, they called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Just a quick clarification here. Remember, the tithe first, that's obedience. The generosity comes after. One says it this way, tithing isn't the finish line, it's the starting line. Another like this, generosity begins where tithing ends. Listen, the why, Malachi says it, the windows of heaven open. In Acts 20 and verse 35, Jesus says it like this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, simply put, there's blessing in the giving, blessing in the tithe, blessing in the offering, blessing in the generosity, and there is reward. There's a reward here and now. There's eternal reward to come. One says this, it's a solemn and holy truth of Scripture that on the day of final judgment, every person will give an account to God for his or her actions and the stewardship of their life. You know this, the great missionary Jim Elliot, who is quoted as saying, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We finish this morning. Let me encourage you in two things, both to help you in your giving. The first is this, once more, when last time, Malachi chapter 3, bring the whole tithe that there may be food in my house. Listen, test me in this, says the Lord. When we tithe, when we give correctly, one writes, the 90% goes further than the 10%. It's the testimony of me and Jenny. Show you our income, show you our giving. How can you possibly make it? You can't. There's no way. You couldn't. It's impossible. I don't know what to say, but that we have. The 90% has always gone further. Listen, the 90% is never better. That math just doesn't math. Except in God's kingdom. I was thinking of it in this context, God's sovereignty. He rules and reigns over everything. Listen, even math. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000? Five loaves and two fish. I, this week, in preparing for the message, envisioned this conversation. God calling math to the forefront of heaven. Math, come here for a minute. That's Jesus there. He's praying right now. Five loaves and two fish. Hey, math, today, 5 plus 2 is going to equal 5,000, remainder 12. And we say, that's ridiculous. 5 plus 2 equals 7. There's no remainder in adding. That only happens in division. Math says, you got it, Lord. Today, on this hillside, 5 plus 2 equals 5,000, remainder 12. Tomorrow, we'll go back to 7. Today, 5,000, remainder 12. Listen, I don't know how to explain it, except some of you this morning, you put that tithe envelope in the offering, and I envision the same. God called math again, the forefront of heaven. Come here, math. Today, math, that's my son. That's my daughter. You saw that, right? This last week, they got the $100. You see that right there? You see that $10 right there given to me? Math today, for them, 100 minus 10, not going to equal 90. 100 minus 10, going to equal 100. Come on, you know the Lord. He's better than that. Hey, math, today, 100 minus 10 gonna equal 110, gonna equal 120 or 30 or 40. You know it's true. He's given way more to you than you've ever given to him. Do you understand? You give the tithe. And when we do that, when we do it correctly, God miraculously, we talk about miracles. We're praying for miracles. Some of us have been living a miracle every single week. When we put that offering in the church offering basket, every single week we've experienced the miracle of 90% being greater than 100%. When we tithe, when we get the giving correct, God does the miracle. And to that, we're inclined to say, no way, I don't believe it. 100 minus 10 doesn't equal 100. That's 90. 90% of my money is not better than 100% of my money. And listen, my brother, my sister, this is the word of the Lord this morning. I believe it very cautiously, with fear and trembling, I stand before you this morning. However, at the same time, on the authority of God's word, listen to me, my brother, my sister. God says to you, trust me and test me in this. So you do that. Next Sunday, bring your 10% that belongs to him. And the following Sunday, bring the 10% that belongs to him. And the following Sunday after that, you test him. And you see if your story doesn't become just like ours. Set my income next to my expenses. Ask me to make sense of it. Doesn't make sense. The math doesn't math. But I know this. God's sovereign. Math answers to God. And God again and again and again and again and again and again. I'm going a couple more. And again and again and again has done the miracle, making the 90% go further. Listen, my brother, my sister, and be better than the 100%. Number two, be like God. Ephesians chapter 5, you're the children of God, the children that God dearly loves. So be just like him. John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Listen, aren't you glad that God's a giver? Aren't you glad that God gave you Jesus? James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift is from God. Think of every good and perfect thing in your life. Listen this morning. Recognize this. Understand this. You only have that thing because God's a giver. Now again, aren't you glad that he is? You are. He's a giver. Extravagantly generous giver. Now listen, my brother, my sister. Listen to me, New Life. Now, you, as his dearly loved children, be just like him. Listen, son of God, daughter of God, children of God, listen to me. Be a giver like your father is. Father, I pray that you help us in that. I pray this morning for each and every one in this room, that there is something that we take from your word, from this message, that we can apply to our hearts and to our lives. I know it for a fact. This is a generous church. I know it for a fact. Whatever that number was earlier, the percentage of people don't give anything to the church, that's not here at all. 100% give here. I thank you for that. And yet, Lord, unless I miss my guess, you know how it was, me and you this week, thinking about this and how I need to do better in my giving, how I need to be more careful in my giving, how I need to get the giving right. Lord, I pray for my brother, my sister in the room. You know it, Lord. I believe it's your word. The invitation to test you in this command to give the tithe that belongs to you. I wonder, there's some in the room. They give, but they don't give the tithe. They give, but they don't give the 10% back to you. Lord, I pray for my brother, for my sister this morning. You're calling them, you're inviting them to put you to the test, to put your word to the test. You're inviting them to step out in faith and trust you that it really is true. You'll make the 90% go further than the 100 ever could. You're inviting them to put their faith and confidence in you, their trust in you, that you would do a miracle for them. Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. That's no easy thing. That's no easy thing. The math doesn't math. They can't afford the groceries. They can't afford the consumers. They can't afford the car payment. They can't afford. They can't afford. They can't afford. Or so they think. This morning, you invite them to put you to the test and see whether or not you will prove yourself true to them. Lord, that's a my brother, my sister, they're in a tough spot. To take a leap, to take a step of faith like that, that's a big thing. Lord, I pray for my brother, for my sister this morning, that you give them the strength of your spirit to do exactly what you've asked them to do. And Lord, how about for the rest of us? I wonder, maybe some of us have stopped with the tithe. That's where generosity begins. We can't count ourselves a generous people until we've moved past the tithe. Maybe you're speaking to some of us about the generosity of our heart. Maybe you're speaking to some of us about some of the elements of the what? This is the fear of the Lord. This is good stewardship. Maybe you're speaking to some of us this morning about stewardship. Maybe some of us, we got the 10% right, but our 90%'s a mess. And it has nothing to do with you or your word. It's because we can't control our spending. This morning there's a reminder, hey, be a good steward. What else? What else are you speaking to your people? Maybe it's the blessing. Maybe it's the reward. Maybe it's what you have in store for us. Lord, whatever it is, let my brother, let my sister, let me, let my heart be sensitive to what you would say by way of your spirit. Help us, Lord, to do exactly what we would hear from you this morning. Help us to be obedient. Help us to respond rightly to what the Bible says, what you say. Help us to respond rightly to the truth about the money. Help us, Lord, in that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Just for a few minutes, would you prepare yourself for communion? We're going to gather at the Lord's table, partake of the bread and the cup. Would you just bow your head, bow your heart before the Lord? Spend some time. This is 1 Corinthians 11. We examine ourselves. We make ourselves to be ready to receive, so that we don't partake wrongly of the bread or the cup. Is there sin in your heart? Is there disobedience in your heart? Is there animosity? Is there hatred? Is there bitterness towards a brother or sister? Those things got to be made right, my friend. Those things got to be made right before we dare partake of the bread or the cup. We've got to make those things right this morning. Have a minute with Jesus. Invite him to search your heart. Would you do that? Invite him to examine you, to reveal in you anything that doesn't belong. Take just a moment before we partake together. Let Jesus speak to you this morning. Let Jesus speak to you this morning. Hallelujah. Take a minute before we partake. Thank him for this. It's well. It's well. Aren't you glad? Because of the broken body of Jesus, because of the shed blood of Jesus, it is well. It is well between you and the Father. It is well. There's a confidence, there's a faith, there's a trust that you can have in this life. Listen, the Lord is on your side. And if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? It is well. It can be the declaration this morning for you. Not only spiritually, but physically, in every aspect, in every area of your life. It is well. Jesus has made it to be that way. Thank him for that this morning. Thank him for that this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. This is his body broken for you, so that you might experience healing and wholeness. This is God your Father giving to you his Son, his body broken, so that you could be healed today. God, we thank you. You're a giver. You're a giver. Jesus, we thank you. You're a giver. Your body given so that we might be healed, made whole today. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. And he took the cup. He gave thanks. This is his blood shed for you. Hallelujah. So that your sins might be forgiven. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for that. God, we thank you that you didn't just give a tithe of your Son's blood. Not just a 10% measure, good enough to save 10% of the world. No, you gave it all. Jesus, we thank you. You gave it all. So all who would believe on you, so that all who would come to that fountain that flows with blood from Emmanuel's veins, that all would be made whole, that all would be made clean. We thank you, God, for being a giver. Jesus, we thank you for giving to us your broken body and your shed blood. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now stand to your feet and thank him just for a moment before we go. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Thank Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Don't miss it, my brother, my sister. Listen, you understand. Before he ever asked you to give a thing, he gave to you his Son. Come on now. Thank him for that. Thank him for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your shed blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood that washes away all my sin. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that makes me whole again. The blood of Jesus that sets me free. We thank you, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away our sin. We declare one more time before we leave, oh, the Lamb, he's worthy. He's worthy of all the glory and honor and power and praise. We declare it one more time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Now lift your hands this morning. Receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you, give to you his peace, and make you to be a giver just like he is. In Jesus' name, would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.